you know what? It's time to go drag racing! 200 plus miles per hour.
All right, Rick, you know what time it is now, man. It's time for the real crazy guys.
The All Harley Drags with Stevie Letemp. Stevie, you there, brother?
Hey, guy. How you doing this evening?
Oh, we're doing great. How you doing?
Oh, doing great. Doing great.
We've went an hour and a half, and we haven't wrecked yet.
I will tell you, I listened to your little segment you had on there about 9/11. Boy, that really that strikes home, I think, for every American.
Let's hope so, anyway.
I'm telling you.
Well, listen, talk about Americans. I've got him right now. Not only is he an American, my God, he's a Texan. I got Terry Tripp on the line. Terry,
right.
How you doing, guy?
Good, thank you.
So, Terry, it's been a crazy season for you. As I've been looking at the specs on you and stuff, and going down the line, you are currently number one in the points. There's like four races left to go. Yet, you've only got one win. How tough a competition is it in this class?
Oh, man, it's horrible. I mean, everybody's capable of winning at any time in this deal, looks like. You know, I think there's been seven or eight races and probably seven or eight different winners, so I feel pretty fortunate to at least win one.
Well, Terry, this is what we call an index class, and if you would, could you explain to the people just what an index class, what it is?
Well, this is a super gas class, and you can't run faster than 9.7 seconds. If you do faster than that, you break out, and if the other guy doesn't break out, you automatically lose. So it's a, you know, in good places where the air is good, it's real easy on the back hour run to run faster than 9.7. So you have to be really careful that way.
It's almost like a double drag race.
Right.
You're racing against that 970. You want to hit it without going under, but yet
right.
You've got a guy over on the other side that has all the intentions in the world of putting his wheel out in front of yours before you cross that finish line.
Exactly right. And my train of thought on racing is you beat the other guy. Even if you know you're going too fast, you still want to beat him. So that's hard to get in my mind not to do that.
Well, I know I've seen some guys that were able to lift and somehow judge it. And I don't know, probably it's 10% skill and 90% luck, because it has to be a huge amount of luck to be able to judge that distance at those kind of speeds.
For me, it's just luck, yeah.
And to give the fans an idea, Terry runs in this super gas class to where 9.70 seconds is their target. You have two riders roll in, bump the beams, and they compete against each other to who gets there first, but neither rider can go faster than 9.70 seconds. And to me, when you do this type of racing, it's probably the hardest racing in the world. For the spectator, I think, well, you know, the all-out, flat-out, first one to the finish line. And that's fine. But you really get into the technical end of it and skills on driving and judging distance and judging your opponent when you get into classes like this 970 class, and you do a great job at it. I will say this. You got somebody who's not a happy camper right now, and he's knocking on your door just 6 points behind you, which is less than one run, and that's Bob Drapp. He's the former champion, or current champion, I should say, and looking to come back and do it again. And you've been a thorn in the side right now. So what do you think about Bob over your shoulder now coming at you?
Well, it's tough. I mean, he's the number one guy, so just to, you know, this on my second year of racing, so to be there with him is kind of exciting, you know. He's a good guy, and, you know, you want to beat him, but, you know, he's tough.
Have you ever met him in heads-up competition?
No, not yet, we haven't. I haven't run him yet, so I figure one of these days it's bound and determined to happen, you know.
Well, we're down to now, we have Virginia, and we go into Pomona.
Well, Rockingham's in there, too.
But that's right. We go Rockingham, then Pomona, and then to Vegas. So we're down to the final four. And you know, in a points chase like this, he's going to be looking for you. He needs to get to your first round to take you out if he wants to get that edge.
Well, I know. Tough, too. I dread it when it happens.
Well, it should really be interesting. And, you know, and I talk naturally about you because you are the man right now, and Bob Drapp right on your tail. But there's another guy back there that it's kind of slowly but ever so carefully moving right up to, he's right on Drapp's tail, and that's Keith Riddle. Riddle's just 14 points behind. To give you an idea how close this is, here the top three are basically, what do you get? Is 20 points for a round win?
Right.
So there's two guys that are within one round of knocking you out of the saddle. So, and I also went down the list. I believe we did have, I think there's eight different people that have won this race so far this year. I don't know if there's been any repeats or not. I don't believe there have.
No, there haven't, but I know of. Yeah.
It's just simply incredible how tough this is. Question now. One thing that's happened to this class, the V-Rods have got into this class. You run a V-Twin, am I correct on that?
No, I run a Destroyer, a V-Rod Destroyer.
You have a Destroyer.
Right.
Okay, now I didn't know if yours was a Destroyer or not. How does that Destroyer... I mean, it's probably a perfect name because it seems to be super deadly. In relation to the V-Twin, how is that as far as performance and driving, you know, and being able to ride? How's the drivability of it?
Well, it's really smooth and real easy to ride. I mean, it's built for drag racing, you know, and so it's set up, for me, just perfect. It's smooth, it handles well, it has a lot of power, so it's a great bike.
How fast are you guys racing? How fast are your quarter-mile times?
Well, on this on the 9.7, we average about 135 to 138 miles an hour.
Gotcha.
Right in there. So,
yeah,
you know, it's plenty fast. But
I will tell you this, you know, think about 9.7. I mean, that is extremely quick. What do you know right offhand? I put you on the spot here, perhaps, but like your 60-foot times, what type of times do you have on a 60-foot line?
Well, they're around like 138 or, you know, 138.9, something like that, 1.4.
Do you know any idea about what mile per hour that is?
Oh, not right offhand, I don't. It's probably already about 70 miles an hour or something like that, I would say.
Well,
I don't know right offhand. I never paid that close attention to that end of it.
I'd say you're probably pretty close. And for a lot of the guys out there that are not familiar with motorcycles and their rate of acceleration, if you go out and you buy a new Corvette and take it to the, you know, run your 0 to 60 times, we're looking at 4.5 to 5 seconds to go 0 to 60. And if you, you just heard what Terry said.
Oh, it's way, yeah, it's over the top.
And a little over, you know, one second. Holy smokes. He's accelerating roughly five times faster than a brand new Corvette. And that's incredible. How do you hang on to that thing, Terry?
Well, I always make fun and tell everybody, I just close my eyes and scream and hang on. It's not that bad. It's pretty exciting for that first 60 foot for sure. I mean, it's a handful.
Well, any plans special for Virginia? How do you... Is the air extra good there? Have you ever raced there before?
I didn't make it last year, but I'm sure the air will be really good now that we're going into fall and it's getting cooler and it's, you know, it's a little closer to sea level than most places we go. So it'll be fast. It'll be hard to stay under 9.7 for sure, you know.
So you really start to worry about that breakout situation going too fast.
Right, yeah. Yeah, see, I broke out in Oregon 2 weeks ago. That's what beat me, is I broke out. And the other guy broke out, too, but he didn't break out as much as I did. So, of course, if both people break out, the one that breaks out the least is the winner. So, you know, I kind of always have to worry about the altitude because they always run so much better. And like I said, my second year, I'm not that good at judging how fast I'm going, so.
Terry, what prompted you to jump into this sport?
Well, it's been one of the reasons is drag racing. You don't have to be a young kid anymore. You just have to have, you know, reaction times and be able to ride a bike in a straight line. And I'm 52 years old, and it's hard to find a racing sport that a 52-year-old man can do. So,
Terry, you're a youngster, man. Let me tell you something. Last week we had Sonny Burris on, and... So you're a youngster, no doubt.
Well, I know that, but the kind of racing I like to do is flat tracking and motocrossing, and I'm just too old for that. So
yeah.
I do old man sports, what I call it. But it's fun. It's a lot of skill for these guys. I mean, they're tough to beat.
Yeah.
Well, Terry, when you're not out riding those bikes, just what do you do for a living?
I'm a Harley-Davidson dealer in Amarillo. I own Trips Harley-Davidson, and it's a family-owned business. We've been in it for almost 52 years, so. Harleys are in my blood, and this is a with that new Destroyer they came out with last year. I mean, it's a perfect fit for my business and wanting to race. So,
huh?
That's how I got into it.
That's very cool. That's very cool.
Well, Amarillo, Texas, I'll tell you what, that brings back a lot of memories for me, even though I'm a South Carolina boy. When I was a young man in the military, we're going to go back to, 1966, I got married at Amarillo, Texas. I was
really?
Amarillo. Yep. August 13th. It was Friday the 13th, if you can believe it or not.
Well, that's my last birthday, so I don't remember that.
August the 13th?
Yeah. It was on a Friday, too, when she was born, so.
Was it? What year was it? Well, I don't want to ask what year.
Oh, she's older than I am. It was like 40.
We don't need to go there.
I don't have the Twilight music. No, don't ask that.
Something like that.
That's right. 29. I believe that. Absolutely. Gorgeous woman.
She is.
Well, she's got to be a special woman. She puts up with a guy who rides a Harley, so.
Well, she's a big part of my drag racing deal, too. She helps me when we back into the water pit. She backs me in, helps me do my burnout. Get lined up, so she's a big part of it for me.
Does she ride?
No, she doesn't ride. No, she lets me do all the riding, and she criticizes it.
Well, she's a crew chief. That's her job.
That's it. For sure.
That's cool, man. So you ride Harleys and sell Harleys. That's pretty cool, man.
Yeah, it's a good life, really is. It's fun, and get to meet a lot of nice people in the Harley drag. There's the nicest people in the world with all the Harley drag racing deals. The guys are all really good to you and make you feel at home. It's pretty cool.
Well, Terry, I want to thank you for coming on tonight. I enjoyed talking to you, and I hope everybody enjoyed listening to you as well. I know Virginia's up next, and I look forward to seeing you come into Virginia. And going to pull the stops out and turn it loose. There's no doubt in my mind. Terry Tripp, guys, remember that name. That could be your next world champion in the All-Harley Drag Racing Association. Terry, thanks for coming on.
Thank you.
All right, Stevie. You know, I got an email, and I can't access it right now because I'm on the wrong computer here to access it. But got an email from Valerie
Thompson?
Thompson out there in out west, Bonneville Salt Flats. Says she broke a record. Did you get that?
Yeah, in fact, Valerie set a second land speed record. She owns one already, and then she set her second one just this past weekend at 161.73 mile per hour on a panhead. Now, I don't think she was ever able to make the run that she wanted to make with the nitrous and everything because they did have terrible weather out there.
Right.
Affected the salt. But she was able to go out there and set her all-time best and say it was an official salt flat record at 161 mile an hour. And as Valerie would say, 161, Stevie, 736 on the end. Don't forget that.
That's pretty cool. You know, and of course, we interviewed Valerie last week again on Real Racing USA on our All Harley Drag segment there, and that interview is available on realracingusa.com. Just click on All Harley Drags, and there's it's near the top. There's a link to that interview. And so she did go out, and actually she got something good accomplished, and that's good.
Absolutely. I think there was some disappointment because of the weather and stuff, but you know, Mother Nature, unfortunately, controls racing quite well. And with the salt flats, the moisture, it'll soften the salt up. And if, once the salt starts to get soft past a certain point, or if the winds are too strong, or it's over with. It's just a done deal. You just simply can't go out there and do it. So unfortunately, she experienced weather, never really got to make all the runs and go as fast as she had intended to. But she did set the record. She did a great job.
161.736 miles an hour. Want more information on it, go to her website, btracegirl.com, and it's all right there.
Absolutely.
Tell you what, Stevie, let's take a quick break. Come back with Bob Drapp, huh?
Absolutely. Now, there's a guy. He's going to be a headhunter because he don't like being number two, and that's where he's at right now.
Okay, we'll be right back.
All right.
PowerMaster is your ASA series sponsor for the XS Power batteries. PowerMaster is pleased to announce the introduction of the XS Power series of batteries. XX Power batteries for racing applications and batteries for your car audio application. 12-volt batteries for street machines, street rods, off-road vehicles, and even motorcycles. XS Power batteries means 30% more power and no battery spilling. PowerMaster also carries your starters and alternators. Visit us on the web at www.powermastermotorsports.com.
I'm Doug Rose, owner of the Green Mamba Jet Dragster. You're listening to Real Racing USA, on Short Track America. Be there.
Bud Light presents Real American Heroes.
Real American Heroes.
Today we salute you, Mr. Footlong Hot Dog Inventor.
Mr. Footlong Hot Dog Inventor.
When conventional wisdom said no one could make a hot dog longer than 6 inches, you dared to dream.
Dared to dream.
You knew the limitations of a regular size hot dog bun, and you ignored them.
Can't stop me.
You made a 10-inch wiener, and people cheered.
Oh.
But you weren't satisfied. You said, wait, I think I can still give you 2 more inches.
Gotta want it.
And so the footlong was born. So crack open an ice-cold Bud Light, Mr. Hot Dog Hero, because you gave every single one of us our fondest wish, a bigger wiener.
Thank you, thank you,
babe. Bud Light Beer, Anheuser-Busch, St. Louis, Missouri.
When purchasing a technical product like brakes, there is no substitute for quality and experience. In the performance industry, no one has more experience than the brakeman. The brakeman has been designing high-performance solutions for a variety of applications for almost 40 years. The current products from the brakeman are among the most advanced on the market. The Tornado calipers are the only calipers in the performance industry to carry a U.S. patent number and a new line of pads and rotors. The Brakeman Super Brakes are solving brake problems on hard-use vehicles, from police cars to ambulances and a variety of fleet vehicles. So if you're towing a trailer, carrying heavy loads, or just plain want to extend the life and stopping power of your vehicle, it's time to call the Brakeman. On the web at thebrakeman.com.
The following is a presentation of Real Racing USA. All right, we're back with the All Harley Drag Racing segment of Real Racing USA Live. And Stevie LaTempe, I think, is hooked up with Bob Drapp from Florida, another supergrass rider. Super gas rider.
You have to forgive, Bob. Remember, these guys have been turning left so long that they're still lost. We've got to get them over to a drag strip, and we have to teach them.
And, Bob, from what I understand, you don't like running second.
No, I'm not really fond of it. I'm trying to get in the number one spot, but it's pretty hard work because there's some tough competitors out there.
Well, you know, Bob is really telling the story the way it really is. I've never seen, I don't think this class ever have, as many tight competitors. And Bob was telling me while we were on waiting there that we were looking at as many as 10 guys that could still win this thing yet, and we only have 4 races left. Bob, I did some research on you and looked into your background a little bit. You're probably one of the toughest guys on the tree that's out there. In fact, you're getting better the more you race. Now, last year, you were laying down some pretty serious numbers. In fact, to win a race, you had to go 0-6 on the tree, and you ran an average of 9.74 off of 9.70. You were never more than 400ths off. Now, this year you've got one runner-up, but you've gotten your reaction times to 0-3. But yet, unfortunately, you only have one runner-up stacked on the table. Really surprised me. And what do you think is the deal? I realize it's more competitive now, but is it something to do perhaps with the type bikes? Or is it the V-twin, do you think you like it better than a V-rod, or what are your feelings on that?
Well, there's really a number of things, but I think probably the biggest thing is that the competition has gotten a lot better out there. Last year, the Destroyer was a new motorcycle, and a lot of people were just learning the tune-up on it. And by looking at the qualifying, you can tell that this year, even towards the end of last year, these people were really starting to get the tune-up down, because usually the top 4 or 5 qualifying spots at every race was the Destroyer. And it was hard for the pushrod motors to be in the top 5 in qualifying. And those guys could run so consistent, you had to be good on the lights to even be in the game. And this year, I think a lot of those guys improve their riding skills as well as their tuning skills, and they're tougher, and there's so many good riders out there this year and good tuners.
Well, you know, I believe you, what was, you won five races last year, was it?
Yes, I had five wins in Super Gas and three wins in ET.
I mean, you were on your game, and of course, you do wear the number one plate, and rightfully so. And this year, you're still in the hunt with just that runner-up. What do you think? Is Virginia going to finally give you that win I know you've been looking for?
Well, it's a good possibility. I've been doing some homework, doing some studying, and, you know, trying to improve my riding skills a little bit of practice here and there, so we'll see what happens.
Well, also, how does it affect you as far as traveling? You know, one of the things that a lot of the guys have to do is a lot of traveling. I know you're from Florida. In the Virginia race, that's relatively close, but from there, you're going to have to make the haul all the way to Pomona, California, and from Pomona, you roll right into Vegas. We have one interruption in there. We do have one going in when we go into Rockingham, but still, when you get on the road and you head west, do you think that will affect the way your vehicle will handle for you? Or
well, it doesn't affect driving skills? Myself so much or the vehicle, but what it does affect is if that I do have any mechanical problems, I don't carry a full load of spare parts and all the tools I'm used to working with when I take those West Coast races. So I have to kind of rely on what I can borrow and what people can help me with. And that's a bit of a handicap sometimes if something goes wrong, which is what happened to me at the Oregon race.
Oh, really? Tell us about that.
Well, I had my bike at the, let's see, which was our last race, Bristol, on the eastern end, and I had somebody take my bike out to Oregon for me, Doug and Julie Vansel were very nice to help me out there, and they took the bike out there, but I had a blown clutch in it from Bristol, so I bought a clutch and put it in my suitcase and some tools to take it out there with me. And darn if the airlines didn't lose my luggage. So I had to borrow.
Can you imagine the guy that found that suitcase and opened it up?
Well, they finally got it to me, but a day late. So I had to borrow clutch parts and tools from other people, and I couldn't find the exact right stuff. So I was handicapped on that race.
Well, I'll tell you what, that fingers crossed it doesn't happen, but I can see, you know, where it could happen, though. And I can just only imagine the guy that picked up your suitcase.
No doubt.
What did your suitcase weigh, by the way, when you...
Actually, it was legal weight, just barely, because there's very few clothes in it, mostly tools and parts.
That's funny.
And I checked the weight before I left home so that I wouldn't have a problem getting it there.
Well, I'll tell you, I found most of the guys out there are pretty good about, you know, about sharing and helping you and stuff, but, you know, if you do have special tools and certain things that you've got to have that fits your bike and your bike only, I guess you are really on the spot. And when you make this run out to Pomona, is that another one where someone will have to transport the bike for you and then you just, you know, follow out?
Yeah, I'm going to have someone take that, but they will have the ability to carry a little bit more stuff, so I'm going to try to be a little bit better prepared. I'm going to put together a pretty good grocery list of things that I think I might need.
Bob, are you from the around the Lakeland, Florida area, somewhere in there?
Yes, I am.
Yeah, okay.
I'm about 10 miles from Lakeland.
Really? Yeah, we're actually broadcasting this show from south of Sarasota, actually.
Oh, okay. You're not too far away then.
No, not at all. Interesting. So, that was like a funny story, but I guess, it's not funny when it's happening, but that was a bad commercial right there.
Well, the thing that I learned out of this is stuff that is critical that you absolutely cannot do without, bring it on as carry-on baggage.
No doubt.
I just see them running that thing through the X-ray machine.
They probably ask a few questions, but it shouldn't be a problem getting it through as carry-on baggage because it was just a set of clutch plates and a couple of hand tools. But they didn't like it with my electric drill in the carry-on baggage. They said I had to have that as checked baggage.
Really? So you actually carried the clutch packs, or some of your tools and stuff, right in the aircraft and slung it up overhead, then, huh?
Well, on the way home, I was going to do that, but they wouldn't let me do it. So I had to check it as baggage anyway.
And how did you get involved in this sport, and how long have you been involved in it?
I got involved in this when I was still in high school. It was just something that a lot of the kids I went to high school with had a real interest for. And some of them raced their cars, and some of them raced their bikes at the local track. And this is when I lived in Wisconsin back in the 1960s. And the first time I went to the drags, I thought this was one of the greatest things in the world. And after 40 years of doing this, I still think it's the greatest thing in the world.
Well, Bob, how long have you been racing on Harley?
I've been with the AHDRA probably close to 10 years, I would say. Maybe a little bit longer. I haven't been following the whole circuit until just the last few years, but I would do some of their races every year, like when they do their spring opener. When they used to do it in Orlando, I would always make it to that race. But about the last 3 years, I've been making a lot of the events around the country.
You know, it's very common for everybody that seems like that we talk to is involved directly with Harleys in some form or shape for their regular business. Are you too involved with Harleys and your?
Oh, very much so. I've worked my entire adult life in the motorcycle business. I'd worked in dealerships at different positions, service manager, general manager, and so on. But right now, I work for the Motorcycle Mechanics Institute, and I actually teach the high performance classes for Harley.
So, if anybody should be able to put a tune-up on one of these bikes, it should be you then.
Where's that located?
It's located in Orlando, and there's also another one in Phoenix, Arizona.
So is that something that people would see when they go to the PRI show in Orlando?
I don't know for sure, but because I don't get involved in the promotional end of things too much at the school.
Uh-huh.
I used to do a lot more of it at one time. But it may very well be at that show. I know last year they gave us passes to get in there, so I think we had some involvement with it.
Did you go?
I went last year.
Yeah, quite the adventure, huh?
Oh, that is.
Yeah.
That's almost like somebody going to heaven. That's any kind of a gearhead.
Yeah. You walk in this, that place is so huge, and I forget what the name of the building is there, but
the convention
center. Yeah, the convention center. It is so huge. Bill Green, who we had on the show a little bit earlier, he is the motorsports editor for a writer for the Tampa Tribune, and he and I went, he actually lost the car keys in that place. There was no chance ever of finding them.
Oh, yeah, that place is huge. It's got to be several square miles inside, so it seems.
Yeah. It's amazing.
Well, Bob, how about sponsors? Are you fortunate enough that you have anybody that helps throw in a few dollars there to help you out?
Well, I've teamed up with a couple of different people to help me out. One is Donnie Huffman of Huffman Harley-Davidson in Lakeland. He's helped me out quite a bit this year. He's helped get my bike to a number of the races, and he's certainly given me some technical help here and there. And another person that's been very instrumental this year is Jordan Cruz. He runs in the pro stock class. And in between making rounds in the ET class and super gas, I crew for Jordan Cruz on the pro stock bike.
So you just can't get enough of it, huh?
Well, it looks that way, doesn't it? You're right, I can't.
Well, I'll tell you what. You talked about Donnie Huffman. Now, we had Donnie on the show.
And yeah.
Quite an interesting individual.
Yeah.
That's another man that cannot get enough of it as well. And he and his dad. His dad is not a spring chicken anymore. But you know,
no.
Jumps on that bike and he rides. The last time I tried to get a hold of him, they told me, said, "Well, sorry, he's on his way to Memphis, Tennessee, and he's on his bike, so I don't think he's got a cell phone on."
Is he still leading the points? When we had him on in July, he was leading the points in his class. Is he still leading the points there?
You know, I can't answer that right off, but I'll let you know here in just 1 second.
Yeah.
Well, that's kind of a funny thing you mentioned about leading in the points, because I'm number two in the points in the ET class as well. I'm 3 points out of first place there, and I'm 40 points ahead of Donnie Huffman in the ET class.
Uh-huh.
Oh,
he's number three, I'm number two.
Well, there you go.
Competitive man to be ahead of, too, let me tell you.
Right.
Well, Donnie has consistently been one of the toughest guys I've ever run up against, and I used to run up against him at a lot of the local races as well a lot of times it'd be he and I in the final round for the big money in the pro brackets.
Did you?
Sometimes I'd win, and sometimes he'd win.
Do they run bikes over at the Orlando?
Yes, they do.
At the Speed World there?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah, they run Saturday night events out there. It's not every Saturday night. I believe it's about every other Saturday they run it.
And then there's a place there in Lakeland, too, right, over by USA?
Lakeland Drag Strip, they usually run, they have tests and tunes on Thursday and Friday, and then sometimes a Saturday night event.
How do you, are you in tune with the local scene a little bit in Florida drag racing?
Not so much anymore. Since I've been making it to all of the AHDR races, I haven't really had time to make too much of the local scene, but I get out there once in a while, like on a Wednesday night or a Thursday night for a practice session for a test and tune.
Yeah, they get good turnout, people coming out?
Oh, there's a lot of times a huge turnout.
Yeah, that's cool. Good to know.
There's a lot of enthusiasm for drag racing motorcycles. Not so many Harleys. There's a lot of Japanese bikes and a few European bikes that show up, so there's a very good variety.
Well, I got to tell you, I mean, I would be happy to see them there rather than passing me at 160 on the interstate, as happens from time to time.
Well, I feel the same way, too. It's a pretty dangerous situation to be out on the roads nowadays and driving like that.
Yeah.
Just a note on Donnie Huffman. He is currently number 3 in 3 different classes. So he, too, will start to make the push here, the last push on these last 4 races. So your friend's off the track. When he gets to the track, he bumps that first yellow light. He's all business. So should be
every man for himself at that point. But you are right about that there's so many racers out there that are the same way, that we're great friends off the track. But when it comes down to getting in the staging lanes, then it's all business.
Well, Bob, enjoyed having you on this evening.
I know I enjoyed being here.
I enjoyed listening to you, and I really look forward to seeing if you can keep that number one tag on the back of that bike. You know, we wish you all the best.
You know? Well, thank you very much, and I intend to put on a good show.
Thanks again for coming on this evening. We really appreciate it.
Thank you.
Yes, sir.
All right.
Well, guys, that's about it for Stevie tonight. Just one thing that I did want to mention to you guys tonight, remind everybody out there that on our All Harley site that we do have a place for your pictures. And if you have pictures of your rig, your bike, your girlfriend, your dog, by golly, we'll put it up there and help promote you the best we possibly can. Also, if you have press releases, it's extremely important to help not only the All Harley Drag Racing Association grow, but to help you as a racer grow. And we can do that by letting us put up your press releases on our site. It's absolutely free. We charge nothing. We make nothing on it. It is all for you, the All Harley Drag Racer.
Yeah, and Stan Shepard, Bullet Racing, he sent us some pretty cool pictures, man.
Especially the one where Stan showed his trophies, and then the next one, he showed his variety of cocktails.
Absolutely. Rick and I were marveling over that picture. That was pretty cool.
Only Stan Shepard.
Yeah, and we have a story coming out tonight, Stevie, on Greg Krennic with some pictures, a little story and some pictures that'll be on the front page of Real Racing USA, as a matter of fact.
Well, I think that's great.
Yeah, so we're trying. I hope people keep sending us pictures. I forget who it is right now. Somebody sent us some pictures, and we didn't get them, and there was an email exchange back. I haven't heard back yet. And then also, we did have a little bit of an error there on our linkage. Wasn't working right on one of the stories. I think it was a couple of the stories went to the Tommy Grimes interview, and they weren't supposed to. And somebody put a comment on and sent us an email, and we straightened that out, and we appreciate that. And anytime somebody sees something that's screwed up on the website, let us know, and we'll fix it.
Well, guys, once again, I really enjoyed this evening.
All right, man.
I'll come back again next week. Not just sure who it's going to be yet, but we're going to have 2 guests on from the All Harley Drag Racing Association, and we'll take you straight lining once again.
Talk to you soon, Stevie.
All right, thanks a lot, Stevie.